You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
The Around the NFL Podcast. Knows you're gonna like it in my city.
From the Chris Wessling Podcast Studio, it's Around the NFL. I am Dan Hantas, and I am joined by my longtime friend and hero, Mark Sessler. What's up, Mark? Oh, wait. Here comes somebody else.
Just in the nick of time arrives Connie Fox.
Guys, I've been here the whole time. What are you talking about?
Oh,
you know, like that is my motto, just in time. Like, yeah. I feel like maybe that is the tattoo I get.
Laptop free today.
No, that's just
total
it'll come
panic.
Out in a second.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Colleen, you should know that I know you have a lot of stress about being late to things. So
I
said to the production team, let's start as quickly as possible so she has to come to the show in the middle of it.
I usually give myself a Danzis buffer.
Right.
So
that's fair.
I'm like,
big mistake today.
It's like 11:03. It'll be fine. Should I text them? Nah.
And no buffer, baby.
I saw you guys through the glass because, yes, we are in a fishbowl. Yeah. And I thought you guys were just like chilling.
Well,
so I would have really sprinted had I known.
Right.
No, we were working very hard. We were not chilling on any level.
As soon as we saw you, because we were trying to get things going, then it was emergency mode to Eric behind the glass. Start it, start it, start it. But it didn't quite, Mark, get the effect because I don't see the pure panic. But you know what? Maybe it's the June 27th summer of Connie.
It is.
She can't be flummoxed.
I think full send right now.
Yeah, like our goal was to look like we had gotten a solid or get a solid 10 or 12 minutes in where, you know, we're into our third story in the news rundown. And then I think that would set off some Colleen-based panic.
But you know I was panicking a little bit.
Yeah, well, you rushed by us, by the way. It was like a sprint across the window here.
Just in time, baby.
All right. How is everybody?
So good.
Had a few days off. Nice weekend. I'm back from Texas. We're here in, as I said at the top, the Chris Wessling Podcast Studio. Greg in Mother Japan.
Oh.
Yeah. It is his mother.
Taking the week off.
Japan is his mom.
His mother-in-law.
Well, there's that too, but I'm saying the actual geographical place could be Greg's homeland in a way, based
sure.
on the family that he's united with.
Sure.
Guys, when are we going to Japan and doing
GC,
a show?
GC. We are going to go do a show in Japan in 2037.
Okay. I'm in.
No budgetary concerns for that. By the way, my voice is a disaster today, and this is an audio show, so that's a problem.
Well, I do, you know, you do a little, true crime level deduction, you know, a little red string on the board.
Uh-huh.
And we had a few days off, and Mark's out in the wilderness, comes back. Like a guy who's been out and enjoying his life for a few days.
It's really hot in here.
Guys, I've been doing a Tarantino-thon, too, which I feel like you guys would be super into.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I've made it through the first six now. I had never seen Death Proof before. That was the last one I watched.
Not my favorite of his. But
it's not his
really
favorite
his.
Either.
Yeah.
But also, even his bad movies are good. Like,
yes.
It was campy and trashy, but, like, that's the whole point of it. And Kurt Russell was incredible.
He is excellent. You have to compile a list. And, like, he's going to have his seventh or eighth that I like best from him. But it's still, like, 25 times better than 96% of what is released in cinema right now.
I'm not sure how much we could say, Mark, because there's, you know, we've been kicking around some things for a while on this topic.
Yeah, I was alerted of it yesterday.
In the
middle of my Tarantino-thon. So
that there was an active text chain with a certain husband.
Yeah. And I had been simultaneously texting with Sheck about Tarantino at the same time were texting.
Well,
so we have some warring texting chains.
In the works.
Warring texting chains. That's one way to spin it.
Or we can all work together, which we're going to
do
today.
That's what we do on this program Around the NFL as we rapidly approach our 11th season together. And yes, it's a quiet time. I think, Mark, this has to be, I think, the one-year anniversary, if not exactly to the week, of Kayvon Thibodeau coming into an otherwise empty building here in Inglewood and just burning the place down with his apathy for us. I miss that. I want to bring that energy back one day. But there is a vibe, considering this is the headquarters of NFL on the West Coast and NFL Network and NFL Media, it does feel like a little bit of summer school. Like, you know, we came in today and it's pretty quiet around here.
Very quiet. The hallways are sparse and empty. Which I would suggest people are out and about having fun in other parts of the country. But it is a massively hulking corporate complex. And there's about 14 people here.
Working hard, though.
Big, though.
Some of us.
Isn't it interesting, though, despite how quiet it is outside the studio, what a big show we have today. Because always one of my favorite things to write on the website and then talk about it with my buddies here. The Superstar Club 2023.
Yes.
And Colleen had to get Connie on the show to hear her thoughts on the Superstar Club. Greg likes this one. He likes to talk about certain there's a certain figure that's going to be in the conversation that I kind of wish I had Greg's input or pushback on, but I'll have to alert him next week. A lot of players, big-time stars, or high-profile players, but are they actual superstars? Who are the true superstars? What even is a superstar? We're going to get into all that.
That's juicy.
I can't wait to get in the weeds on it.
But first, a little bit of news.
Oh. Chiefs go with three tight ends and a shotgun. They roll it to the right side. Mahomes pump faking. Now fires it late for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Kansas City! Travis Kelce from Patrick Mahomes! And the Chiefs lead 12-3. And now Mahomes to Kelce in the postseason for the 13th time.
13 times, and that was a huge score. Huge score in the AFC Championship game in January. The Chiefs taking out the defending conference champion at the time, Bengals. And you know what? Let's just have fun with it. We could do the thing where like, oh, you know, it's such a slow time of year. And why even talk about it? Let's just have fun.
Let's talk
about football players doing podcasts and talking trash to each other. So here we are. Ja'Marr Chase was asked about a statement made by his own teammate, that Patrick Mahomes, the reigning Super Bowl MVP, league MVP, is the best quarterback in the league. Ja'Marr Chase says, perhaps in jest, Pat who? Oh, didn't sit well with Travis Kelce on his New Heights podcast with his brother Jason. Let's listen in.
Thought it was a little bold, you know? So the guy's a two-time league MVP, two-time mm-hmm. Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah.
To say Pat who is like...
It's a little disrespectful.
It is what it is, dog. Who doesn't love some good locker room banter, man? Shout out to Ja'Marr Chase for, you know, holding it down for his QB, but don't you ever disrespect Pat Mahomes now. If you want to talk your shit, pimp. Just better back it up.
I love him.
I think we have a new drop.
So good.
I set this up by saying we're not going to talk this down. So we're going to take it very seriously. Mark Sessler. Whoa, this rivalry has now got real heated.
Yeah. I mean, I think if like, if you're going to take aim at literally any athlete on the planet right now, Patrick Mahomes feels like a weird target where you're not going to win that argument with literally anyone, especially his star tight end / teammate.
I liked Mahomes's tweet. That's who with the two rings. I mean,
very good.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it.
That's it.
Speaking of rings, can we just, the Chiefs 2 weeks ago had their ceremony. The teams always have the ceremony. The rings got 613 diamonds. I mean, what are we going to do in like 20 years? Is it just going to cover up the entire right side of someone's torso, these rings? There's got to be a limit. Well,
what's the taxes on that too, right? Aren't they paying taxes on this?
You always get the players like 2 decades from now where they encounter some sort of personal trouble and sell the Super Bowl ring.
Right.
Like, that's becoming a more and more attractive concept.
But like, at what point are these rings not even able to be taken out in public? Like, you can't drive a car to the market with a ring of that size.
If someone's going to cut your finger off and run away with it.
You can knock somebody out.
More drip.
You're okay with it, Connie, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
In other news, the Bills, they want to get back to the AFC title game or get to the AFC title game. Isn't it weird? This run they've been on, they haven't even got to the AFC title game yet. Everyone's saying they need to win the Super Bowl. Got to get to the AFC title game first. They haven't been there. But ownership is very happy with the setup there because it was announced this week that Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean were both extended their contracts through 2027. 2023 will be the pair's seventh season together. Three AFC East Division titles, four straight playoff appearances. Number one, Connie, on my urgency meter. And perhaps the Bills read that and they said, man, we got to turn down the meter a little bit and let's extend these guys for no reason whatsoever. They were under contract for like three more years just to make them feel like it's not all or nothing this year. But it really is.
Wait, your NFL.com article perhaps triggered this transaction.
I would remove perhaps.
Yeah, they read it and it put the whole thing over the finish line. So now McBean is not going anywhere. That is apparently what their nickname is. Okay. I got to try and work it in this year. I'm going to see how it goes. But yeah, I mean, they obviously have done a great job and they just haven't gotten to the promised land yet.
I mean, if we could work in that the new general manager of the Denver Broncos or the current general manager is a man named Kevin Saunders to alleviate any confusion with the head coach, certainly we could use a nickname such as McBean.
McBean.
On this show.
It feels like McBean should have been a thing like half a decade ago.
Maybe it was. Maybe yeah, it has been.
Is that good? Is McBean a cool thing? Like, am I missing the pop culture reference?
No, it's just McDermott and
like
Brandon
Bean. Like a McDonald's
Bean.
Item on the menu? Or is it? what makes meal. It a thing that's like, oh, that's cool.
I think it just fits. It fits. It describes the pairing of the two very, very well in Western New York.
I was on the Ross Tucker podcast this morning.
Is that a humble brag?
And yes.
What did you talk about?
Very nice man. Many things, including
Ross.
including the urgency scale. And he was actually saying he was a little indignant about the old extension for McDermott, especially. He said he should be on the hot seat if they don't go all the way this year or at least take a step forward as an organization. I had never heard anyone posit such a thought about McDermott, who I feel like is certainly... If I had to point to one issue that I would have with the team entering 2023, a question mark, be like, well, Brian Daboll leaving and how the play calling changed and how some of the efficiency changed, I would think offensive play caller is in more danger than Sean McDermott. But, you know,
I do wonder, though, like the timing of this, because, you know, I, outside of the staunch proof that we have that your article triggered this, that this had been in the works for a while and we're a week removed from a fair amount of drama involving Stephon Diggs and like not being happy with Josh Allen, not being happy with play calling, the whole way the offensive scheme was built. And then bang, it's like everything's normal. Everything's fine. This is what they always it's interesting when they announce these contract extensions. They seem sometimes to solve some sort of psychological warfare within the building.
True, true. You've said it all, Mark, as usual.
I'm leaving.
Moving on in blotter news. We touched on this briefly in our episode last week, going over the best skill players, teams with the best skill players in the league. And the Dolphins were high on that exercise, in large part because of Tyreek Hill, their wide receiver and a legendary playmaker. He is likely to face criminal charges after a incident on Father's Day at North Miami Beach Marina. The victim of an alleged assault intending to take legal action against Hill. He's 29 years old. He's been accused of slapping a 57-year-old man during an argument at Hallover Marina in Miami. This is the same Tyreek Hill, obviously, who has a past with the NFL's personal conduct policy and assault and domestic violence. So it is absolutely now something that could affect the Dolphins and their arguably their most important player on the offense. And just to tag that with a star wide receiver that will not be facing charges, Davante Adams, the Raiders wide receiver. Remember that game where he shoved the media worker in Kansas City after an October game? And the spokesperson for the Kansas City Municipal Court told the Kansas City Star on Friday that a prosecutor had dismissed the misdemeanor charge June 5th and that the case was closed. So that's done. Davante Adams doesn't have to worry about that. But the Dolphins and Tyreek Hill, Connie, do have something to worry about.
Yeah, and that Tyreek is 29 and this guy is 57 makes it a lot worse, too, I think. So it's just like these things I feel like keep popping up with Tyreek, and it's such a shame because he's a great talent and he would really help the Dolphins, but this stuff can't keep happening.
Great player does not seem like a great guy. Finally in the news, Carson Wentz went bear hunting. Did you hear about this one?
Oh, I saw it.
He went bear hunting. He's an avid outdoorsman. Posted a photo after he bagged the big old bear and getting a lot of pushback. Carson Wentz, the underemployed former first-round pick, Mark. And I just want to check in on Carson Wentz. This is what he's doing right now. He's shooting animals in the woods. A lot of people do things like that. Mm-hmm. Not everyone posts it in such a visible way when you're a high-profile person. He did. Some people didn't like it.
A lot of people did not like it. He posted it to the Wentz Bros Outdoors Instagram account. So I think this is like this bear hunting and the hunting thing, and I think that's, you know, the culture he came up in. He's been doing this for years in terms of an activity. It's you've got to, I think, understand if you're Carson Wentz that if you're going to put this out of here, if you're going to put this image out there, you're going to inflame large pockets of individuals. And that was the response that I think the few people that sort of came to his defense were a Taylor Heineke, who said he wanted to eat part of the bear when it was finally prepared. And then also Jay Cutler said, well
what?
Done. So, well, I went deep diving.
He wanted to eat part of the bear when it was finally
yeah,
prepared.
Like I went deep diving because like almost everyone was like terrible thing to do. And like, I mean, it's a bad, it looked bad. It looked uncivil. I don't know why we are still needing to kill bears at this point. Like there's plenty of other places to get food and have your sport. But these few football players like stood up for him.
Connie.
Yeah, no, I hated it. Obviously. I understand that it different strokes for different folks. People like to hunt. I am not one of those people. And it just felt so grotesque. And I don't know. It's just like there's so many things that are going on that are killing different animals all over the world. And then like Carson Wentz is posing with one as a trophy. It just like feels weird and odd to me because I just didn't grow up hunting.
Right. And to add on to the disconnect with the general public, what he wrote along with the images was incredible trip, because we get it, you've been out 3 or 4 days in the forest doing this. Incredible trip and an incredible animal. How incredible is the animal if you've just removed it from our society?
Listen, my take on this, not a hunter.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm a gatherer.
Sure. A gatherer, total gatherer here as well. But the people that are into this realm, like they see it as somehow unjust or whatever. It's a beautiful thing to be one with nature. Now, I don't wrap my head around that, but that it is a beautiful bear and they're taking it home and they're going to do something with it.
One with nature.
Their thing. I don't know.
The bears don't have a gun. Then give the bear a gun. Everyone else seems to have guns around here.
Well, that wouldn't be fair either, like, because the bear's got big ass claws and giant teeth and
right,
it's bigger and stronger.
That's fair.
On some level, the gun levels the playing field. But how about, you know, just like a, I don't know, a club or something.
A club. Like from like the car
Carson
club?
Wentz with a big club against a brown bear or whatever. That seems fair because Wentz is an elite athlete, or once was.
Do people eat bear?
Yes, absolutely. You freeze it. I mean, I know a couple hunters from my days in Colorado, and there are people that this is part of what they do. I'm not like go. You know what? I wouldn't say go have fun because doesn't sound fun to me. But we weren't all raised in the same little neighborhood, and there's different activities. But this is not a good look for Carson
Wentz.
I'm
cringing at certain aggregate write-ups of this, saying that this could hurt his ability to be signed by a team.
Well, that's
sure that was
ridiculous.
I don't think that's going to be the case.
And this is not to shame any hunters. This is just...
Yeah, don't comfort
me. I'm an animal lover.
Yeah, he's already having difficulty being signed, so that it can't change that too much.
That's what's happening in the news. Let's take a break and then get to the Superstar Club.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
All right. Another thing. If I were a hunter, I would be really bad at it because I'm kind of an impatient person. It's like, oh, I'm going to go sit in the deer stand for 9 hours. I'm just going to sit there. Got nothing to do. I'm just going to wait for a deer to come by.
Is that what happens?
I think so.
Yeah, I don't think you just continue. Well, we don't know, but I don't think you continue just to wander around aimlessly. There's a bit of like a perch and wait.
This is
what I do.
I've never even been fishing. I have no idea.
Why are we still talking about this? Because it's just like delving farther down a topic that we have no concept of.
We do not. All right, let's get into a topic we do know more about: superstars in the NFL. And every year, I am tasked with writing on NFL.com a list of documenting who are the superstars of the NFL. And in the past, I've done it. The exercise, it's a zero-sum game, I used to call it. Somebody goes in, somebody comes out. I've made some tweaks this year because it's an interesting time for the NFL where I was surprised there weren't as many like kind of freshly minted superstars that came out of 2022. And as we talked about this, Connie and Mark, leading into today's episode, is that something you found as well? Are you surprised that there wasn't like a ton of fresh blood to consider here?
Yeah, because I looked at your article from last year and noted the new members, who was in, who was out, and it felt like there were quite a few. And then going over the list this year to last year, it depended on the position, but for the most part, it was like maybe one or two guys. And some of them, it was like, I don't even know. I think there needs to be less people in the club, maybe.
Yeah, my response was, because I did the same process that you went through there, Connie, like looking at where we were a year ago, if anything, I slimmed it. I chopped people out and maybe added a little dash of spice here and there. But it was tough to find new candidates.
With that said, let us get into it, because I did indeed take down the number of superstars considerably this year. So let's get into it. Let's start with, you know, in terms of this sport, quarterbacks, that is the true indicator of a superstar, the signal caller, the field general.
The FG.
Absolutely. Seven quarterbacks are superstars. The list is Josh Allen, alphabetical, by the way. Don't get it carried away. Don't get carried away here. It's not a ranking. Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers. There is one newcomer to the list, none other than Colleen's own Jalen Hurts of the Philadelphia Eagles. And I'll get to some names that are out of the mix, but let's start with Hurts. This was a no-brainer. We knew that this was Colleen. I don't even want to say we knew it was a possibility. It could have. If there was a best case scenario entering last season that Hurts could make a gigantic leap the way he did. But I don't think anyone really expected it to that level. Even Eagles fans that really liked what they saw from him in 21, right?
No, I mean, his growth was remarkable. And you have to remember, he was coming off the season where the Eagles really weren't expected to be in the playoffs. It was sort of a transition year. Sirianni, it was his first season, and it was Hurts' first year at the quarterback position. They went into Tampa Bay, and it was just a disaster, that wild card game. So I felt like that game kind of changed the narrative for him a little bit over last offseason. And then coming into the year, he just made huge strides in the passing game and just overall. I mean, MVP candidate, obviously went to the Super Bowl, played really damn good all year long. And having A.J. Brown there absolutely helped. But the numbers were, you could not argue with them at all. He absolutely belongs in the club.
Yeah, I think if you're a Justin Fields fan, a Bears fan, you can look at that roadmap that Jalen Hurts just went through and wonder if that's the kind of player that can make this kind of leap. Because a year ago, Jalen Hurts was spoken about completely differently. It's not like trying out for his job, but the Eagles might have a wandering eye for fill in the blank, Russell Wilson, someone else. And instead, he just took this titanic leap. And I mean, it kind of just goes to show that the quarterback development, I remember growing up and like Phil Simms had five or six seasons before he was kind of cemented in as like the plug and play guy. And now it happens in year two or three tops.
Hurts averaged 8 yards a carry last season, almost 800 yards on the ground, 13 rushing scores. He was excellent as a passer as well. And as we saw in the Super Bowl, I mean, when he, and I know he had the big turnover that led to a touchdown that kind of changed the game, but in many ways, he was the most dominant player on the field. So this was an easy one.
He's got the swag too. Like he belongs in the club. He absolutely looks like he belongs in
and
the club.
And that's something Greg has talked about in the past that I agree with you. There's a je ne sais quoi involved here.
I mean, it's a club.
And it is for to be a certain way you carry yourself or how you're seen. And you add that with the way things look this year, because every new member to the Superstar Club, it's a probationary 1 year period. Okay. And Hurts is set up very well with a great team, great playmakers around him. Where was he? Where were the Eagles in our exercise? I think they were either two or three.
I had them, players. I believe it. We two or three together, but I think three in the overall mix, maybe. Family.
Yes. So they're set up well, and
it's concerning that I can't even recall that episode, which was just mere days ago. But
I think there's again, Red String it, and we're going to connect some dots behind the scenes. Now, who's out? Okay, because there's multiple guys out. In fact, three. I had to take three out. I think I just got a little more strict this year. I think I made some changes in how I see things. Tom Brady, easy, retired. And he would have come out anyway.
Yeah.
Although I did take him out of the Superstar Club a few years back and had to put him back in. That was very embarrassing.
You paid for that. Well, you had been calling for his decline for roughly 8 years of this show. So.
Right. I was right eventually. So he's out.
He gone.
Russell Wilson.
Yep.
Hard out.
Aligned.
Hard
out. We're all aligned.
That was an easy one
you
as well.
You are the weakest link. Goodbye.
And I think Wilson has a chance to bounce back. But I think even a Broncos fan that's highly optimistic probably is not thinking at this point, right, that he's going to get back to the heights that he was. It was just such a precipitous drop last year. I think just being a functional quarterback, you would take that as a W.
He was out of the club quite quick last year. And I can't wait to see what he does with Sean Payton and if things change this year. But prove me wrong, but I don't think that is going to happen. I would love to see him back in the club with Ciara and like a smoke show outfit. They're going to have bottles of Clase Azul. Like, you know, it's going to be great. But I don't think that's going to be this season for Russell Wilson.
There are whispers because it's so quiet that everything's just in trope land. Yeah. But Joe Lombardi, paired with Sean Payton, said that they're very happy with Russell Wilson's offseason. I mean, the one thing I'd say is that he looked physically more svelte and in better shape than he had been in a while. I don't know if any of that means anything at all.
Is that a trope alert?
I think it could.
I think it's a mass. I think it's a layered trope. There's
I saw
layers
him,
of trope there.
You know, I think it was an Instagram video of him working out. He looks different,
right?
That's maybe a trope. It is a trope alert, absolutely, but one that maybe I'm buying trope into
that.
A little bit.
Really?
Remember, he was called a sack of potatoes by a defender at the end of last season, and he's a player that part of what made him great was his escapability, his ability to both as a scrambler with the Seahawks and also to buy himself more time and keep his eyes downfield. That's kind of what Russell Wilson was all about. It wasn't that way so much in year one Denver. Now, this one's going to be controversial, but I'm going to do it. Also won't hurt the old clicks on the article.
No, this is...
I feel like I know where you're going.
Dak Prescott, I'm taken out of the Superstar Club.
What?
We had a mirror reaction to this whole quarterback thing.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
And that is not to say... that I don't think Dak Prescott is a good quarterback, because I do think he's a good quarterback. I'm not even saying that Dak Prescott can't get hot and when paired with a really good Cowboys team and make a run to the Super Bowl and even win it like Matthew Stafford did, another guy that's not a superstar in this exercise for me. I just think for me, after the last couple of years, I'm just pulling back a little bit personally on kind of how I see him. You know, he has had some great statistical years in his career at Dallas. Last year was not one of them. He led the league in interceptions. He seemed to be a guy that with a not so hot supporting cast, other than a really good wide receiver one and Tony Pollard emerging. It didn't seem like he was making a lot of his teammates better on the field. And in general, there's an inconsistency to his game. We saw how he played in the first round of the playoffs. It was beautifully, then was not able to make it happen against, admittedly, a very good San Francisco defense. And I think that's kind of what it is. Dak Prescott is maybe even like his predecessor, Tony Romo, in the Hall of very good rather than the truly great. So I'm just pulling him back a little bit out of the Superstar Club. Doesn't mean I think the Cowboys need a new quarterback.
Yeah, it's not like a career assessment because... But you're not flipping... Yeah. You can't just ignore what happened last year, because I think when Dak Prescott was playing at his heights... He's like a top five quarterback.
Right.
But then he completely has these, he goes completely AWOL for a quarter at a time. And it's not just environment. I mean, it's like a lot of those interceptions were not on Dak Prescott. There were some weird things that happened. But I'm with you. I put him in a category because I don't want to publish this. This is just on my little Google Doc here. But fringe, because I was like, I don't know what to do with him entirely, because I think he could be back in this club if he has one of his better type seasons. But I can't, after last season, just ignore a lot of what I saw.
He's on my bubble as well. But guys, Mike McCarthy, bro, I mean, this offense is going to be way different for Dak. So we'll see if that changes.
Yeah, but even that, like you mentioned that, because McCarthy's been very vocal about that. Zaddy's saying, like, we finally get to play football the way we want to play.
Right.
And like, we're going to score less this year. And I don't know what he's saying, actually. But I think he's saying he wants to be a little more ball control and maybe less aired out, if I'm understanding some of these quotes that have been getting out there.
I'll just say this, we're nobody's underdog.
And I'm wondering if that is going to be a detriment to some of the production from the quarterback as well, and stats are part of this as well.
That doesn't make it easier to get back into this organization, this club.
Stock up, though, guys. Someone who's like knocking on the door of the club. He's hanging out outside, kind of.
Okay,
he's waiting in line. I don't know if he's going to get in or not this year, but I feel like Trevor Lawrence has a shot to get there.
All right, so I have a category. Good job, Connie. I have a category for each of these positional groups, close calls. And I don't think there's necessarily a close call that I have here, but guys that I'm keeping an eye on, and Lawrence is absolutely one of them because he did hyped up his generational talent. Got wiped out by the Urban Meyer fiasco in year one, made that leap in year two, got to the divisional playoffs, and there was a lot you could piece things together and say, okay, this is going to be the year he now becomes a superstar. I would not be surprised. I try not to get ahead of it too much. I'll talk about some other guys that fall into that category and try to say a guy's a superstar before he's proven. Because to be a superstar, you kind of have to be proven
right
at that level, rather than, oh, he could be a superstar. And I think Trevor Lawrence still has to do that. Fields is another guy. We've talked about him on the show.
Right.
That Justin Fields, if things go a certain way, could have that Jalen Hurts type leap in year three. And I'm excited to see what he can do with a more functional surrounding group. Could he have a huge season this year? I think it's possible. And then there's one other name, Mark.
I have a question for you. Is it Brock Purdy?
No.
Okay.
I never even thought about it.
I know you didn't. I know you didn't. And like most people wouldn't. But let's say you take the, because we're talking about,
Mark, we're talking about the superstar.
I know, but with Trevor Lawrence, right? It was like his final six or seven games where he morphed into a superstar. It's like, we just need to see it again.
Right.
Right. Brock Purdy essentially was a flawless quarterback for six plus weeks.
Well, playing with a remarkable supporting cast and coaching.
I'm just saying, like, if he went and did that for another 17 game stretch into the playoffs, is he not a superstar?
Well, let's talk about it. We'll talk about it next summer.
Okay.
But I'm not, like, I just
he's just on my, like, deeper radar.
I know,
like,
you
he's
love
a little
him.
Thing
deep
out
radar.
In the sky.
I get it.
Yeah.
I was going to say Deshaun Watson, who was in the superstar club, and then when everything happened, he was quietly yanked out of the entire conversation. I have him back in now in terms of, not in the club, but a guy that I'm considering as a in terms of that. And listen, like, full off season, no league discipline or legal issues lingering, a really nice offensive line, nice skill group. Talked about that. I had the Browns in the top 10. It's all kind of set up for him to maybe regain what and get back to what he was. Now, all the other stuff, I get it. But I'm just saying, in terms of the quarterback and the producer and being a leader and in terms of wins and losses, he is somebody I'm watching this season to see where he lands.
Mm-hmm. I think anyone who's been in the club, like, you'd have to keep an eye on. But, like, for your urgency meter, tell me Cleveland was not on that list.
They
because
were.
There's a lot of pressure on that coaching staff and really everyone.
I keep wrestling with Dak. I don't know. I just keep going
back
and forth.
How much do you love an exercise where Jalen Hurts, the Eagles quarterback, becomes a superstar, and the Cowboys quarterback yanked?
You know,
unceremoniously. Had to get Connie on this episode.
But you are right. They're going to tweet that out with the picture. Yes. That thing is going to go absolutely ballistic. And
I will, I may be not around anymore.
No.
Hit him with a Go Birds and everything will be fine.
You're lucky you got out of Texas when you did.
That's
true.
Because
that would not have worked well there.
I'm not meaning Cowboys listeners. You know, I don't hate the Cowboys. In fact, I kind of like watching them. I'm not as down on their constant primetime.
Well, it's like setup. They are superstars in their own right.
It,
like,
helps
built
them.
In.
Yeah.
That's what helped get Dak into the superstar club, because that does carry that little extra something when you're the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. But I just had to yank him. Let's move to running backs. And this class has shrunk, gang. Mm-hmm. Here are the running backs in the Superstar Club. Returning member, year three, I believe, Nick Chubb. Maybe year two. Might have been a year late on Chubb, but he is in. Derrick Henry is back. Christian McCaffrey is back. And even though I have the ability to rescind this based on the 1 year probation, Jonathan Taylor stays in the Superstar Club, and
wow,
I'm giving him a pass. You know, and like they say in the mob movies, he's giving me a pass. I got a pass. Everything was terrible last year for the Colts, but I remember Jonathan Taylor, because let's start with Taylor, how incredible he was in 2021. Just a reminder to everybody that he is still 24 years old. In 2021, he had 2,171 total yards and 20 touchdowns. And even last year, as bad as everything was for the Colts, and it was terrible, from the offensive line play to the quarterback play to the drama behind the scenes with the head coach and everything, he still ran for 1,000 yards last year. And all the injuries he had, and before he got hurt again and banged up that ankle, he was looking like Jonathan Taylor. So he's staying there. Mark, did you have him still in the Superstar Club, or was he off your list?
I moved him off. Not because I don't agree with what you're saying, because I think this guy can be back on the list if he returns.
We don't like
form.
To do that, though.
But I guess yeah. I'm basing this like largely off of what we've seen most recently. And I think injury can't be the only reason you knock him off. But he wasn't the same player. And I just think it's an exclusive little club. Wait, did you not have Saquon Barkley back in the club?
He didn't.
I did not.
See, I took back on. Taylor off and a couple other people as
that.
Well. But I put Saquon back in.
Okay, so let's go through.
I can't believe you don't have Josh Jacobs.
Well, that one is concerning too. But I
he
also
led
did
the
not.
League in rushing.
So who's out from last year? Dalvin Cook.
Yep.
Who, even though you popped the hood on some of his production even last year, it's not too far off from when he was seen as a superstar, at least obviously by me. But there is something disconcerting for me doing this exercise, saying guy's a superstar, and he's just like lingering on the free agent market for weeks now. That's a little
that's
a bit of a red flag.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, I didn't feel comfortable keeping him in the Superstar Club. Because if he truly was a superstar, there's no way.
Because he doesn't have a girlfriend right now? Is that what's happening? He shows up single to the club. He's had four straight 1,000-yard seasons. Like,
what? Do you think Dalvin Cook should be still in the Superstar Club?
If
he doesn't even have a job right now.
If he was on the Vikings and he was still in Minnesota,
yes,
would he be in the club?
I would be thinking long and hard. About it, yes. But I do factor in external things like, did he get fired by his previous team?
I think that's like a cap thing too, right? Or no?
They definitely had cap issues. But the other thing is, if we're too soft, you have like eight people in this list on the club for the running backs. I have four.
Right.
I think Jonathan Taylor should not be in, because he only rushed for like 800 and some yards. And that was like the first time he hadn't rushed for 1,000 yards since high school. And yeah, everything was like terrible last year for him and the entire team and the entire offense. But if it's a superstar club, you got to play like a superstar. So I'm putting Josh Jacobs in and taking Jonathan Taylor out.
Okay. Close calls. I had Josh Jacobs.
Because I had a question about Josh Jacobs, because he looked as good as any running back last year. I think I am, because this goes back and forth, but I had him on the fence, which again is my own category.
Right.
Because of, I don't know if I trust that was going to ever happen again.
That's why he's not here for me. Not because I don't think he's a good running back or even potentially a great one. I just wonder what he does as an encore after leading the league in touches, almost 400 touches last year, 340 carries. He has zero career touchdown receptions, so he doesn't really give you that much juice from that side of things. And I really like Josh Jacobs, but I don't know. I guess the bar is just higher for me, and I kept him out. I also, the one I struggled with the most out of any player in this exercise, and Barkley I struggled with as well, because you could look at what he did last year and comeback player of the year type season for Barkley. But I think one of the things that Greg has talked about, sometimes you just got to wait it out with Barkley, and it could be a slog watching a lot of those you know, negative twos, no gain, negative three. And then he blows out the 25 yarder, the big play. And it's like, all right, everything is great, but maybe his offense just doesn't excite me. And it's part of the attack he's with. So,
well, you're the author, so you can decide this.
But it was Austin Eckler that I really, because I mean, listen, I don't know. Is it the stink of 27-0 hanging over a lot of the Chargers? That's totally unfair. It's a different thing. It's a team game. He's entering his age 28 season. 38 touchdowns in the last 2 years. That's 12 more than any other player. He caught 107 passes, but I don't know. I just, maybe I'm wrong. Is he a superstar, Colleen?
I feel the same way as you, because he did have 18 touchdowns last year. I mean, he was always scoring, but I feel like the way that the Chargers situation went with him kind of affects the way that I think about him. And that's completely unfair, but that's just, I think, the reality of it a little bit.
Would you rather have Austin Eckler over McCaffrey, Nick Chubb, Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley?
Maybe Saquon, maybe.
Josh Jacobs.
I would have, Eckler's approaching the Fantasy Hall of Fame. He's a great player. I mean, I would have him. I would take, name those guys again. I'll go yes, no.
Christian McCaffrey.
No.
Nick Chubb.
No.
Derrick Henry.
No.
Saquon Barkley.
Yes.
Josh Jacobs.
No.
You then are the weakest link. Goodbye.
Then it's just a matter of how large is this club for these running backs.
And I put it out there on Twitter. The ones that I really struggle with, it's become a bit of a tradition this time of year. I'll just throw it out there. Simple question. Is Austin Eckler a superstar? Over 8,000 votes and 57.6%. of the football cognoscente says no. So, you know, everybody has their own definition of a superstar. And Chargers fans can get angry about that, and Giants fans certainly as well. But just short, whatever it means, it's just short. Is it the stink of 27-0?
I don't know. Maybe.
I think it could. I think you're broadcasting that's a possibility for you.
Yeah, but am I alone?
No, I think
not
people,
that Justin cost Justin Herbert. He's still in the club, but
like the Chargers Q rating has taken a hit almost year after year.
And Alvin Kamara was in your rankings last year, right?
He was. He was the other name I took out, and that was the name that I wish Greg was here for, because he totally disagrees with me. But I think it's been 2 years of kind of not superhuman production. He's 2 years older. He's got a potential suspension on the way. The arrival in Jamal Williams is a real goal line guy. It's going to take away touches in the red zone. And not to mention the arrival of Kamara's potential 2024 replacement and TSU running back Kendry Miller, a third round pick. Certainly, Kamara is still a great weapon, and any coach would love to have him. But I just guess it's been too long now as a game changing superstar since we've seen him at that level. And Sean Payton's not around either.
They just use him different too. Like without Peyton and without Drew Brees there. Like before, they were using him in every way possible because they had to. But then it's just like everything is down for him, all of his numbers.
All right. Now the group that has the most names, it's not quarterback, but wide receiver, 10 of them. Hello. That was a tough category, running back.
Yeah.
In general, running back's just a tough one to figure out right now. It's a tough cookie.
Because the league, it's like running backs aren't supposed to be superstars anymore, but they are superstars. So
look,
it's
Dalvin
unfair.
Cook, he doesn't have a job.
I mean, you're going to have Raiders fans all over you, though, but that's how this
Raiders
works.
Fans, Cowboys fans.
Yeah.
Step
why do I do this?
Double dip right there.
Anyway, wide receivers, returning names, Davante Adams, A.J. Brown, Ja'Marr Chase, Stephon Diggs, Tyreek Hill, Justin Jefferson, Cooper Kupp, DK Metcalf, Deebo Samuel, all of them pretty much slam dunk, no doubt, returning names. The newcomer for me, well, let me start here. The only name there that I want to keep an eye on, Deebo Samuel. I love Samuel. He's one of my favorite players to watch. Last year, the injuries, which is something, you know, he's a guy that gets banged up. He was held under 1,000 yards. In 13 games, only 5 touchdowns. Previous year, he had almost 1,800 total yards and 14 touchdowns on 136 touches. So he had 38 less touches. In general, was a little less of a dynamic player. Let's see how his body holds up in another year. The newcomer here is CeeDee Lamb.
Same.
You had him in.
Yes.
Tell me why he's in for you.
Okay, because he had career highs last year in targets, catches, yards, touchdowns, and he was top five in the league last season, or top six in receiving yards, receiving touchdowns. When I was just like going through all the different categories on Pro Football Reference, like he was popping up in every single top 10 list every time I went down a different stat line. Like he also, as we kind of talked about with Dak, like he has that cowboy star shine, and it's almost like the opposite of Justin Herbert being in the club and Austin Eckler being out. But in this case, Dak is out and CeeDee Lamb is in. And I just think we haven't even seen his best yet.
I had him in too. I mean, a lot of his handiwork came with instant chemistry with Cooper Rush in a really weird situation out of the gate. It's sort of like no matter what the environment was, CeeDee Lamb is producing week after week. He's the only person, though, looking up and down the list of wideouts who are not on last year's list. He's the only guy I came up with that even had a chance to be on it this year.
This one was up in the air for me even till this morning. And by the way, this article will be up on Wednesday on NFL.com. Just because he was very good. He came in with a ton of hype. They gave number 88, which, by the way, the last two 88s in Dallas were superstars in Michael Irvin and Dez Bryant. And you kind of wanted to see that big leap, and I thought you did. Like Colleen pointed out, even when Dak went out, he was still productive. When Dak came back, he had some monster games, and Brandon Cooks is there now, and I think that can only help because CeeDee Lamb has, you know, and he said it on our show during Super Bowl week. He's like, we need more. Like, we need more help around us. Dak needs more help, and if Tony Pollard is healthy and Cooks is the guy they hope he is, and Michael Gallup gets back some of the juice, CeeDee Lamb's only going to get better. He's going to continue to see a huge target share either way. He's 24 years old. And the reason I kind of hesitated just a little bit is because the leap that he made from year two to year three was great, but was it superstar great? And I think that's where the star helped him.
Yeah.
I think the star helped him because CeeDee Lamb feels like even his name, like he's box office. Mm-hmm. And that's why he did make the cut. Making room for CeeDee Lamb was DeAndre Hopkins. He's missed 15 games in the past 2 years. He has a PED suspension. Another guy. How do I put a guy in the superstar club if he doesn't even have a job right now?
That's fair.
And I understand that he probably could have a job right now if he brought down his asking price. But if the rest of the league still saw him as the player he was at his height when he was arguably the best wide receiver in football 3 or 4 years ago, he would have a job now. And he doesn't. And I think about that. He's age 31. A guy, you know, if I learned that Joe Douglas signed him tomorrow, would I be pumped? Absolutely. So I'm not saying he can't play anymore, but this is the superstar club. You have to be that next level guy, and I think maybe Hopkins is just on the other side.
Yeah, I bumped him too. I bumped him too. I had a couple questions about certain guys.
Go ahead.
I dinged the Bucks skill position group pretty severely in our last episode, and like heard about that since. From like four Bucks fans, but like Mike,
are you
Evans,
okay?
Your neighbors,
yeah. Like... But no, just like, you know, I get like three random tweets, like "What's up, bro?" about the Bucks situation. So I was like, I don't know,
tough
I'm not responding.
Stitch.
To
tough stitch for the old cess dog.
But Mike Evans, 9 straight 1,000-yard seasons.
Yes,
I know. Last year he was out of cahoots with Tom Brady on like 4,000 deep passes, but I don't know why he wasn't in it prior or previously. Like he sort of just continues to produce consistently year after year at a pretty unprecedented level.
Yeah. And this is kind of at odds with my statement last week that I wanted to be part of the solution, not part of the problem when people overlook Mike Evans. But yeah.
Yeah, you put yourself in the category of a problem, I think, with this one. But yeah.
I can appreciate Mike Evans' greatness and his consistency while also saying that he's not a superstar. And now he's 10 years into a career. Are you seeing the same Mike Evans you saw when he hoisted the Lombardi trophy with Tom Brady? I don't know. I think he's still a great guy to have, obviously, on your team for a number of reasons. And him and Chris Godwin form a great one, too. That's why I had them pretty high in the skill position countdown we did. But just short of it. I'm more I was more hung up on a couple other names. Terry McLaurin.
Yes.
Same.
From Washington, who is another guy that maybe doesn't get as much respect, but I thought his production is just a tick below and a lot of his quarterback base.
Yeah, he's never had anything better than a C-plus quarterback.
So give the guy a real quarterback, and right. he's gonna be here, because look what he's done without it. The other guy that, and you know me, I wanted to say, oh, Garrett Wilson was so good last year with some of the worst quarterback play in the entire league. He was he got open. He made tacklers miss. He was strong. He was fast. And I think Aaron Rodgers is going to make him a superstar, but I'm not going to get ahead of it. I'm going to wait it out, but I'm my eyes on that for next year.
He's also on my stock up list.
Absolutely. Like I wrote, he's on the way to the club in a horse and buggy. Like he'll get there. There's no questions asked. It could have even been this year. I would have not really had a problem with that.
I wrestled with it, if only to like maybe get a bunch of people mad at me for being a homer.
Absolutely.
That would have been fun. And trust me, that I'm not above doing things like
plenty
that.
Plenty of time for that.
Yeah. But ultimately, I said, I got to stay consistent. And I try to, you have to like earn that extra bump in terms of production rather than, oh, I think he's going to do it. You kind of got to see it to be a true superstar.
I'm stuck a bit on Cooper Kupp, but because he had the triple crown the year before, it's fine.
What?
He played 9 games. Of
yeah,
course,
he was
good. He was great in those 9 games. But
for a terrible Rams team, he was
listen,
still
my
great.
Club is difficult to get into.
Did you?
Yeah.
That's
no, I mean, the offense was like crashing like I-95 around him while he was on the field. But it's the one name when I look at the list just because of his injury last year and just because of the disaster that was there.
Colin
so it's
is
really
a
no
tough bouncer.
That's a tough
through no fault of his own almost.
You know, he won the triple crown in 21.
Yeah.
And single-handedly, even though Stafford, I think, got the trophy.
He's in.
I mean, he won that Super Bowl.
I have some stars next to his name is all.
Interesting. Well, in your defense of an otherwise deeply flawed point, Colleen, when I inducted him last year, I pointed out that he was always like just a good wide receiver.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, in what was like kind of a special year for the LA Rams, obviously, he became, you know, this S tier godlike presence.
A prince. Yeah.
He kind of still was that guy last year until he hurt the ankle, though. I thought, I don't know. Hey, listen. Maybe
he's in, to be clear, he's in, but it's just like, I'm watching him. I'm watching him as the bouncer.
How about Tyreek Hill? Are we keeping an eye on him this year? He's age 29. He could have a suspension, but I'm not thinking about the suspension.
No conversation right now, though.
How will he age if Tua, and you know, he had zero touchdowns in games Tua was out or injured. So his production is tied to the quarterback being able to put the ball in his hands. And he happened to have Patrick Mahomes before. Tua, not even a question. Tyreek Hill is a superstar on the field.
What about
eye on him?
T. Higgins. Any thought to T. Higgins?
No.
I didn't really have him
zero
on
thought.
My list.
Mark.
I thought that he was their best wide out at times last year, but
absolutely no thought.
I think it's tough because Jamar Chase is in. But
how about, you know, I'm not going to even mention the other guy.
Go ahead.
Yeah, who?
Well, these are guys like say future, like horizon potential dudes.
Right.
Okay.
I think DeVonta Smith, like he's have a lot to do with, you know, A.J. Brown being there, like,
sure.
That works. But like Jalen Waddle, like if he keeps producing the way he's
these are like
produced,
two of the best, maybe the two best second bananas in the league to me. And then Higgins, maybe the three best.
Just sort of a future note. Maybe
right.
Maybe they do something
but
this year.
Wouldn't they have to eclipse those players? So it would be A.J. Brown, Jamar Chase. What was the other name you said?
I mean, I'm just looking at the people that are in. Things can happen to
Devontae Smith.
Those
Debo Samuel's on your radar, you know.
Those men have to benefit from having that true number one quarterback, wide receiver across them. That's all. I'm
basically, the Eagles, the Bengals, and I mean, maybe you could argue the Dolphins. They have the best wide receiver duos, at least.
Yeah, these second fiddles are not getting.
I didn't even think about T. Higgins.
Wow.
I like
that's
T. Higgins
disrespectful.
A lot. I don't think you probably gave it some.
You mentioned him last year in the article.
I like T. Higgins.
Yeah.
Another one. But we're talking superstars.
Got it. But you also went on like a 12-minute rant about Jamar Chase like an episode or two ago.
I didn't go on a 12-minute rant. I just said he wasn't as explosive last year, but he was still incredible. So he's a true number one wide receiver. I kind of liked that rookie Jamar Chase when he was just like, shredding guys, catching slants and running past everyone for 75 yards. We didn't see as much
of
that.
Well, his production was different. You're right about that.
He was targeted more. He had, I think, more catches, more yards, but it wasn't as, I guess, exciting. Nothing against him. See?
Well, this is why we're
trying to put me in the box.
We're trying to dig into your...
I'm clawing out of the box. So I got DeAndre out. No concerns there from anyone. Mm-mm. All right, let's move on to tight end. And this...
I did this with my eyes closed.
Yeah, I had to undress the Christmas tree here a little bit as well. This is like the Charlie Brown Christmas tree now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The tight end is one position deep, one player deep, and that's kind of a disgrace, quite honestly. In this era of great offense and great quarterback plays, why is Travis Kelce the only true superstar at tight end in the NFL? And I pulled two players off the list. Darren Waller, who's battled injury issues. He's now a sneaky old Hall of Famer, 31 years old. The Raiders didn't want him anymore. They traded him to the Giants for a mid-round draft pick, which I consider that. And then I don't really like where he's going. Did you know the Giants had only 17 passing touchdowns last year? You know, how much of the pie is Darren Waller going to get? How explosive is that offense going to be? It does help him that they don't have a lot of wide receivers, but I felt pretty comfortable taking Waller out. Anybody have an issue with that?
No, because even if he were on the Raiders, I would have taken him off it.
I mean, the last two seasons, it's just...
kind of washouts.
Yeah. The injuries, all of it.
But George Kittle off your list.
George Kittle off the list.
Interesting. That's interesting.
I kept him on mine.
He was a late subtraction, and I struggled with it.
Yeah, why? What did it for you?
Because he does pass the look test. So he's still got that. Like, George Kittle's on the field. George Kittle gets the ball in his hands. Oh, wow. It's like he's a game changer. Mm-hmm. That looks like a star. I just don't know how often he gets the ball in his hands at this point. He continues, obviously, to struggle with durability. He's 29 years old. He's played a full season once in his career. And then you have, with Christian McCaffrey there, and Deebo Samuel, and Brandon Ayuk, I just don't know how many, like, his numbers. Are you going to put a guy in the superstar club if he's got, you know, 58 catches for 850 yards and 7 touchdowns? Like, but that's maybe, not going to do it for me.
Maybe what he does best is just not showing up in those stat lines, on those stat lines. Like, I think he should still be in. I think it's still Travis Kelce and George Kittle as the two elite tight ends in the league.
I have Kittle in there too, but I think when we talk about Kittle and Deebo, and you just mentioned all the weapons in San Francisco, it's like, it isn't an offense based around one star guy that compiles massive numbers. But then what do you do with it? Because, like, Debo's numbers don't look impressive.
Deebo gets his touches. Ayuk gets touches. McCaffrey, we know, gets his touches. Did you know that after McCaffrey came over at the deadline, Kittle averaged 4.2 targets a game. And he is such a massive figure in their offense, obviously, for what he could do to the middle of the field, his blocking ability, which is...
Doesn't he love to block?
He loves to block, and the National Tight End Day. I love all that stuff, but I just think he's in an offense that is going to depress his production, and you factor in the injuries and the age, and I think he's just a tick below a superstar, and it also, I guess, hurts a little bit that Travis Kelce is as much of a superstar as anyone on this list at any position.
Yeah,
he sets the bar so high that it's like it's hard to put anyone in a category with him because he does it all. He produces.
Thought it was a little bold.
He's on a champion. He also obviously has the look. He hosted SNL. I mean, get big.
He's a superstar.
He's a born superstar. So no newcomers and close calls. Anybody want to throw a name out there or someone that should be here or should be discussed?
No, because I think it just points out that there's this second tier. Like, a Mark Andrews is just clearly like an excellent tight end, super productive. Their offense like rotates around him in many ways, but he's not a superstar.
Yeah, he was the one guy I thought that I was kind of wrestling with a little bit because I had Kittle in and it was just Travis and George Kittle. So Mark Andrews was on the cusp, but I don't think he makes it in. Maybe with all the additional targets and Todd Monken wanting to pass more, I don't know if that's actually going to happen, but maybe his stock goes back up, but he's not in.
A lot of mouths to feed all of a sudden on Baltimore.
Yep.
Too. He's going to get his touches because he gets open, he finds the end zone, but he's also, for all what he brings to their offense when Lamar is healthy, He's kind of a more of a chain mover. He's not a big yards after catch guy. He's not that dynamic break a tackle and take it to the house. He's just kind of that dream get open, make the catch, moving the ball along type guy, which doesn't quite pass. And Kyle Pitts, I mean, if you would have,
I feel like we're talking about a ghost at this point.
If you would have talked to me last summer, I would say, oh yeah, absolutely, Pitts is going to be in this exercise. In fact, I wrote last summer that I was very tempted to do it and put him in last year, and then that would have been extremely embarrassing.
Ooh.
A humiliation for the old Zeuser if I would have done it. I still believe in Pitts, but again, as we talked about on the show, I'm not as bullish on the Falcons' offense because who's his quarterback this year? Like, who's going to – and now you add Bijan Robinson in there, who you know is going to be the focal point of that offense, and Drake London's going to need to get the ball. Is Kyle Pitts ever going to find his niche in Atlanta? It's kind of now or never, it feels like, for Pitts becoming a stud.
They're going to lead the league in rushing attempts, and that depresses his value and also stay healthy.
Not ruling out that Pitts could be on this list next year, but I'm less confident than ever at this point.
So with tight ends, is it usually like year three that they jump?
I don't know. Well, it's been a while.
When we used to do Making the Leap a lot,
right.
It was like, it was, if you, I remember doing this like kind of deeper dive, it was like, for most, it was around year three.
Year three.
It had to do with the offense and everything else too, but like, Kyle Pitts would have been a year two guy, I think, but there was a crazy quarterback play. He's getting hurt, and now it's like you're suddenly in year three of Kyle Pitts, and we have no idea what we're going to get in this offense.
I hope it's good.
And this was a big year, obviously, for tight ends in the draft. Dalton Kincaid, Michael Mayer, Darnell Washington, Sam Laporta, like all these guys, maybe we're going to see that next wave come through. But it is a little interesting that that's a position where wide receiver, we're talking about 10 guys that seem like slam dunks. Tight end, it's Kelsey, maybe Kittle.
Dry spell.
That's it. And finally, you know, when I saw this, I was just kind of proud of myself that I did it last year, that I dove in a little clickbaity, sure. But listen, it's late June.
You followed your heart, though.
Justin Tucker at kicker. He did nothing last year to make me look foolish. He remains swag for days, legendary ability, accuracy, leg strength, the whole thing. He is the only guy with dual membership in the Kicker Club and the Superstar Club.
That's special.
Tucker, year two in the Superstar Club, and I don't look back. And if you're looking for offensive line superstars, anyone that plays defense, gunners on special teams, punters, go find Brian Baldinger, who's probably parasailing somewhere in Paraguay. If you could find him, ask him. I'm just digging into this fun stuff here because that's what I feel like doing this time of year. But those positions, those are the superstars in the league. I think it's 23. And before, because I still have a window here, after we wrap up today, I'm going to go write the piece. What did I get so wrong that I need to think it over before diving in?
Is there anything that pops into your head now?
You tell me.
Josh Jacobs, maybe?
That's right. That's where I think you're going to get a lot of heat.
Josh Jacobs, a superstar.
Just like take it under advisement.
Rushing champion.
I didn't have him in mind, though, so I can't, you know, I'm talking about both sides of my mouth.
Anything else that I really...
No, because I think the exercise sort of shows that there hasn't been a lot of, like, earthquake-level movement since a year ago.
We were all pretty aligned.
The Dak thing we feel good about before we send this thing out there to the masses. Yeah.
Well, you're going to...
I'm still a little...
If you want to talk your shit, talk your shit, pimp.
That is one of my favorites. That's a great line for Travis Kelce. That's respect for Travis Kelce. I hope he can play this on his podcast, the only tight end in the Superstar Club. Literally in a class of...
Have you on his show, maybe?
I would love to join the brothers, Kelce. We're okay with you guys weren't happy about Jonathan Taylor, it seemed.
I just don't really, you know, it seems to go skirt the rules of what's happening here just a little bit.
How so?
Because I think it's largely based on
what he did prove it to me. It's not a leap in logic. It's like he did it and then he had a season wrecked by injuries and almost like historic, like.
Okay, so then what about Russell Wilson getting kicked out for his performance last year?
Wilson looked like a player in decline.
Yeah.
What about Dak Prescott, who had an injury and had some, you know, ups and downs?
I think I made my point very clear. The Dak just kind of seems as leveled off at a very good level in terms of his play, and I don't see that leap to that next level that
I just feels like someone kind of like snuck Jonathan Taylor into the club through the back door. That's all. That's fine.
All right, you didn't make a good enough case. He's staying in the club. How about Shane Steichen? How about Anthony Richardson? How about this offensive line coming together and saying, that's never happening ever again?
I can see that.
And the stars aligning and the Colts are pretty damn competitive next year.
I want them to be competitive.
Well,
make it happen.
Oh, after what happened with you last year?
Last summer, yes. Colleen was going off about the Colts.
I can't go, like, it was the Colts I was hugely high on, and then the Broncos. So it was just a kiss of death for both franchises.
And can I make one more before we sign off?
Remember when I became a Titans fan?
That was huge. Graver was not shy about bringing it up either.
No, he's putting online polls on Twitter and stuff about, like.
Let's finish up with an online poll. Simple question, : is CeeDee Lamb a superstar? And I think this shows the gumption of the old Zooster a little bit. The public said, out of almost 10,000 votes, 70.2% said no, CeeDee Lamb, not a superstar.
Wow.
Only 29.8 said yes, but he is in the superstar club. Somebody on Twitter replied to one of these two polls, like, stop having other people do your work. You know, decide for yourself. Well, take this, buddy. Stick this in your pipe and smoke it.
The problem was that tweet came from Ali Bonpori, your editor. But also, if you don't add CeeDee Lamb, just from an article writing perspective,
right,
you add no one new to the club.
Right, we gotta twist the dial here.
He's going in.
This is how these things work.
And I could have tweaked some people, put Garrett Wilson in there, but I think integrity was important. I kept him knocking on the door, and we slide in CeeDee Lamb, and hopefully he makes us all look good with a 1,500-yard season, including a 4-touchdown game in the season finale against the Eagles to take the NFC.
I knew that was coming. I could see it in your eyes that it was coming. I do have to ask, will Garrett Wilson be mentioned in your article?
He will be. Okay. He'll be the bulk of the article.
Right.
All right, we'll be back on Thursday. Connie, if you can join us, please do. If you have some summer of Connie activities, we'll understand that.
That's okay? Wonderful. I love this arrangement.
So maybe you see Connie or hear Connie on Thursday. Maybe not. We definitely will have Patrick Claibon with us to talk some.
What if I have something to do summer related?
You are right here. You're not going anywhere.
If you want to talk your shit, talk your shit, pimp.
That's my reply to you, Mark.
Can't argue with
that. Well, I can't. I'm taking that very seriously.
All right. We're out of here. Till next time. Heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.